This is meteorologist Rhonda Lee, and you're listening to Truth Brothers Radio with Devon, Ray, and Candace. And if you're not listening to Truth Brothers, then the truth ain't in you.
Some of it you're gonna like, some of it you ain't. Tired of hearing fools complaining in barber chairs and beauty shops.
This is Truth Brothers Radio.
More like it.
If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers, then the truth is in you. Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. Happy Monday. And we're back again to do the show, man. Number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers.
All right. And
I tried to change it up a little bit.
Good try. I just thought you messed up. And don't forget to press that number one, y'all.
There you go.
If you want to join the conversation. And as always, you guys can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. And truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
And our chat room is up and live. Feel free to jump in and throw in your comments, man. So how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. You know, another week of Truth Brothers Radio.
Ready to
jump into it. And we, another thing, man, telling everybody, man, get on our Instagram, get on our Twitter, get on our YouTube. Check all our clips out, man. The new page got all the information on how you guys can reach us. So, you know, just more information on how y'all can get Truth Brother Interactive like the rest of our family out there.
There you go. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. So, yeah, you had a good weekend?
I had a great weekend, man. I mean, I spent it with my boys, man, my sons, Amir and Amani. You know, we chilled. We had a ball, you know, and then watched that Bears game. And
yeah, nice game.
Real nice game, man.
Nice
Shout
game.
Shout out to Mark Trestman, Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall. Got to get on my tight end about missing a couple of hold cards.
Yep, add that to a pack of loss, and it made for a nice weekend.
Absolutely, yeah. Technically, we're tied for the lead of the division right now.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, not bad. Hey.
Not a bad way to kick your
win. Nice solid game.
Yeah.
Nice solid game.
We'll see what happens.
Yep, we'll see what – don't go over the top, people. Don't go making your plans.
I got high hopes for them Bears, though.
We set a nice low bar because we were being realistic. We caught some flack for that,
yeah.
But I think that was the right thing to do.
You know what? I set my bar because I want to be surprised pleasantly.
Yes,
that's
me too.
I want to be
me
surprised.
Too.
Like, wow. I want to go back and say when we do our mid-season thing that we're probably going to do, I want to be able to say, man, look, I was wrong. And these Bears are on fire. They haven't lost yet.
And that's you want to give them a learning curve. I mean, you got to give them a learning curve. You got to give them time.
Absolutely.
They still buying in. You still got people buying into the system. And, you know, you got to give them time to get all the bugs out of the system. And it was bugs in the system. They went for a while and couldn't move, and then the defense went a while and got shredded a little bit, but they all adjusted.
Right, that's what
and that's a good
it's
thing.
It's the first game. It's the opening game. So, yeah, that was bound to happen. So
right.
We're going to get it today. And not to mention you guys, man, let's not forget to mention that the second hour we will be talking about is femininity dead.
That's right, and we got a very, very special guest, the official meteorologist of Truth Brothers Radio, Ms. Rhonda A. Lee.
I know, right? So we got.
I'm happy. Hey.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear from her again, man. I love talking to her, and I know she was excited to come back on the show, which is cool. And she told me she got some news that I get to display to the world. So I'm happy about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
really.
I get to tell the world some information about Ms. Lee. So. Just a good day. But, yeah, then you know, so the weekend coming up, we got the Insidious 2 coming out, so we're going to definitely try to jump
on.
Oh,
Friday? Yeah.
Friday the 13th.
All right, yeah. Friday 13th in City. Yeah, we'll see.
Whatever.
Hopefully they don't go paranormal on.
Yeah, whatever. But anyway.
Yeah, so who we hollering at?
All right, we got to holler at a couple people real quick. Jason Henderson, everybody down at the job, what's happening, man? Diana Bell, what's going on? And Trina Gumby, hey, how you doing? And congrats on the new home. She got a little thing going on, so congratulations with that. Janice Javon, Again, my sons, Amir and Amani. Hey, I know y'all listening right now. And my brother, he told me I had to shout him out. And my nephews, I had to shout them out as well. So, Thomas Jr. and Tyler, what's going on, y'all?
You? There you go. No, actually, I don't have anybody to shout out.
There you go.
Sorry.
Life, huh? And for DJ's B-Days, we got Romy Bracey, Carla Greer, Eric Williams. What's up, bro? Chris Wilson, Janine Crawford. Hey, what's going on? Megan Smith, Mel Patrick. Yeah. Bridget Salt, Nikki Giovanni, Sharon Hall, and Yvonne Orrs.
Yeah, you know what? I take that back. I do got a group I want to shout out. The C4 Corvette website over there on Facebook, man. I took today and finally put some pictures up of baby on the site and got a lot of love back. So I appreciate that.
So there it is.
Yeah.
I'm gonna shout out your car people.
There you go. Shout out to Corvette people. Yeah. Because it's fun.
Can we get to the terrible truth?
Really? That's what you're at?
Yeah, I'm been jealous right now.
There you go.
I'm jealous right now.
There you go.
I quit.
I've had enough. All right. Strap it on. Here comes the terrible truth.
This is the terrible truth. With your terrible anchors, Ray and the Bomb.
Strap it on. Greetings and salutations. This is Kent Clark of The Terrible Truth. This portion of The Terrible Truth is brought to you by that new book, Doing the Wong Thing, Confessions of an Asian Stripper by Sum Young Ho.
There you go. And Jamarcus Webb Unemployment Protection Agency. I've got it at Jamarcus Webb because we ain't got nothing better to do.
Webbing.
Unemployment protection because he's unemployed.
Yeah.
I'm so glad he's unemployed.
I hate him. I hate Jamarcus Webb and his no left or right garden behind.
The blind side on all sides.
I'm blind.
Right.
It is. Okay. Now, this story did take off a little bit, so we're going to get into this. The New Jersey bus driver accused of masturbating behind the wheel.
There you go.
Why?
There you go. I let God take the wheel, and I ran the stick shift.
Something about this. Okay, we'll see. A grand jury will hear a case against a former New Jersey transit bus operator accused of masturbating behind the wheel while navigating a passenger-filled bus through the Lincoln Tunnel and busy streets. That means he was whacking for a long time.
Wow.
At his arraignment, Hudson County Criminal Court Wednesday, 41-year-old George Simpson Jr., OJ, did not speak. His attorney waived his client's right to have the formal charges read out loud. We didn't have any comments. We don't have
to. If he read them charges, the judge is going to be like,
"Tell me, he didn't just say that."
Georgia. We don't have any comments, said defense attorney Frank Arleo.
No comment. What can you say?
We're waiting to get discovery from the prosecutor, and then we'll begin talking to him. Arleo did not say how Simpson intends to plead. He is charged with lewdness, risky widespread injury. And reckless,
you know what you was doing.
And reckless driving.
It wasn't reckless. I didn't hit anything.
Except my hot spot. Shortly after the alleged lewd incident happened, New Jersey Transit spokesman John Durso Jr. released a statement saying the bus operator in question was immediately removed from service without pay as a result of this disturbing and grossly irresponsible conduct. We offer our sincere apologies to anyone who may have witnessed the disturbing episode. The woman who captured the act on her cell phone camera.
Who said, "Oh, yeah." Oh, yeah.
The woman who captured the act on her cell phone camera is a librarian who has notified New Jersey Transit that she intends to file a claim against the agency. She is deeply disturbed that her attorney, Patrick Metz.
There you go.
So let me get this straight.
He pulled over at the stop, opened the door. Come on in.
Woo,
don't mind me.
just firing off them knuckle children.
Just helping the day go by.
Yeah, they should have named this story. I don't know. I'm trying to go. They should have named
Shifting.
It. Nah. Bus driver risk a lot of people after a series of strokes.
There you go. After having a stroke. That's what he. Hey, he need to been playing that Clarence Carter song. He's probably that old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's 41. That's what the dudes say. They say he was 41.
Oh, well, that
My
ain't that old.
My thing is, she captured it on her phone and said,
"Oh yeah, cause
I'm
she,
disturbed."
That's
now.
Right. Because she said, "Oh, this is a much opportunity for money. I ain't mad at her.
$1 million.
Now, see, oh yeah.
If he would have, if he would have went the other bus driver, what the other bus driver did to that girl in Ohio, you going to jail now.
More money.
I'm just saying though. Don't. Hey, first of all, I saw a picture of the wacker dude. Right. I call him wacker.
Wacker.
Yeah. Him wacker drive. Right. So I see the picture of the cat. Right. This dude looks like Todd Bridges mixed with Keenan Ivory Wayne. No joke.
Now the world's on move.
To the beat of a living color.
Different strokes.
He has
different strokes. Different. And he looked at the girl and went,
This dude here. Then they got a video. Dude is driving. He literally is. They got the thing. The dude is driving, and he's like, got let go of the wheel, and both hands is going to action on them testicles.
Cause she filmed it.
Yeah.
And that's what. See, she did. She did the public a service.
I think she went. Excuse me, sir. Are you? Never
yep.
mind. Yeah.
She said,
camera.
"Excuse me." So he said, "You got yours. I got to get mine."
Yep. Did you get on the bus free? Cause I wasn't paying attention. Sit down. Matter of fact, come here. Don't worry about it. Bring it over here. Need me some love now.
What you talking about, Willis? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You big dummy.
I know, right? Funny hey, stuff.
Hey,
funny stuff.
That is just put. Yeah. Yeah. So, how you like your bus drivers? He's not Ralph Cramden, is he?
Nah. But he's knocking stuff to the moon. And I'm
not
sure
yeah.
He was putting out kids' eyes.
Yeah. How would you like to have to take the DNA evidence off that steering wheel?
I don't know. Like, part of me is like, but then,
yeah, you don't want to be the dude that have to prove the case, though.
I don't want
to
be, hey,
where's
know
the evidence? Let's get the evidence. Oh, no, not me.
Chased in it.
Yeah. So, where's the.
Nah, that's just mayonnaise. But keep searching.
He was eating his sandwich at the same time.
We don't know.
We don't. Therefore, we can't tell the Miracle Whip from his whip.
There you go. Wait, is it still moving? Johnson, give it a taste.
That's,
nah, that's him. That's him. That is him. We got him, boss.
Then the Law and Order music plays.
<Doom, doom.
laughs> 818-514. I know. I know. We're going to have to get that.
That was my say. I don't even like that show. I got a friend who loves that show, though. She got that as her ringtone on her phone.
Law and Order?
Yeah.
Just the the
no,
the whole thing.
Doom. I'm over here sounding like a human beatbox. I can't.
There you go. Sorry, Dougie. It's cool. No. Yeah, that is how you like that. How that work in your world? Just
I don't know.
Does he let Jesus take the wheel?
Yep, and he just decided to pull his pony. Riding
pretty much.
The white horse came out. That's
pretty
just something
much.
That. I mean, you know, you don't want to do that when school's letting out. You just.
How long has he done that and no one said nothing? It's the question.
That is a good question.
How long has he been just?
I think he might have just had that mental disorder. Because I believe.
And I want to know the bus driver after him. Think because you know when they change shifts, it's they a dude waits at a stop, a particular stop at a particular time. He gets on, the other dude gets off.
Right.
And you know, so I mean, you know, at what point did he ever just get back? What the hell?
What? This boy keep leaving his glue everywhere.
Right.
All right. I'm done.
You're done.
Yeah. That just. Nope.
that did it for you.
Balled up.
He is balling up the paper, people.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, then I guess this is a good time to go ahead and do it. We're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll be back after this. Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
It's still bigger than hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip. It's bigger than hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip hop. One thing about music, when it's real, they get scared. Gotta slave for the welfare. Ain't no food, clothes, or healthcare. I'm down for guerrilla warfare. All my niggas put your guns in there.
What's good? This is one half of the award-winning Truth Brothers Radio, Devon, telling y'all to tune in every Monday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, to Truth Brothers Radio for the latest in news, current events, politics, controversial topics, and our infamous terrible truth. To keep up with the latest of what the Truth Brothers have going on, friend or follow us on any of the major social media networks, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, or catch any of our past shows anytime at blogtalkradio.com/truthbrothers. Thank you for all the love and support. Catch y'all next Monday. Two fingers.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets the people going.
Was that there?
Yeah, right. That, yeah.
Falling so hard that we couldn't finish the song.
yep.
Well, anyway.
There you go. Moving right along.
Truth Brothers Radio. And we'll be, again, our second hour topic will be, is femininity dead? Can't wait to hear what a lot of these women have to say about that.
We do want to hear from you, ladies. This isn't our opinion. This is how y'all feel about how y'all are being portrayed and how a lot of women are making y'all look out there.
And, again, you know, before a lot of women even think that we're jumping on women, we're not. One, we did a show, Is Masculinity Dead?
We've done two.
We've actually did two shows, Is Masculinity Dead? And we was thinking, sitting around one day, and we was like, man, we should do one, Is Femininity Dead?
Yeah.
And with that, we brought in a very feminine woman, and Miss Rhonda E. Lee, who will be joining us later on for the second hour. Can't wait to have her in. And anybody, again, if you want to join that conversation that we have during our second hour, 818-514-1202. And don't forget to press that number one if you want to get into that.
There you go.
I think I summed it up.
I think you summed it up quite well. That was bad.
Really?
No, that was good bad, though. No. That's good bad. Okay. Speaking of some young ho, Oakland man murders atheist after debating God's existence.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, he had a point to push. All right. In Oakland, a man has been convicted for the murder after killing his friend, an atheist, during an argument concerning the existence of God.
That always happens.
That's why people don't like to talk about these things.
Mm-hmm. Religion and politics,
there
right?
There you go. Douglas Zim, 33, was found guilty of first-degree murder on Tuesday, September 3rd, for the shooting and killing of Zui Don Fon, 25. Zim killed Fon after a night of partying with alcohol, cocaine, and playing video games.
Whoa.
That's the God trifecta.
So let's get this straight.
Yes.
The dude who believes in God was sitting there like, you know what? I need to get closer to God. Let me try this ecstasy.
Along with some hypnotic.
Okay, I got you. Continue.
And then some Madden.
Because who don't need Madden 25?
That's right.
Okay, go
That's
ahead.
That's right.
It's the game for God.
Right. Paul Park, a mutual friend and witness to the murder, said the two men had engaged in a heated discussion about God's existence during the night of drinking, doing drugs, and playing video games. Park was also wounded in the shooting because he turned right around and said, "Now, how do you feel?" Not fast enough.
Yep. God wants you to be
God
quick.
Is real. There you go. Park said that Fon was teasing Yim about his belief in God, where Yim was asking Yim, "Where's your God every time you lose a video game?"
Huh?
Huh?
Loser, down with thee.
There you go. I just unlocked Barry Sanders on this. Where's your God now?
Huh? If God loved you so much, he wouldn't let you lose so bad at Madden. You suck.
And badly.
Dim. What was his name? That sounds like somebody should believe in Buddha instead of God.
Yeah, but, just, you know, he's assimilated.
Ah, gotcha.
Park said that Fon was teasing him about his belief. Yim now faces 126 years to life in prison where he is when he is sentenced in November. In addition to the murder, Yim was found guilty of assaulting with a firearm, mayhem for shooting a second friend, Park. I've been doing cocaine and drinking and playing video games all day and losing to an atheist. Do you have Allstate?
Yep. I'm a righteous believer here, sitting here playing Madden.
There you go.
If you got friends who don't believe in God, you need Allstate.
Yim shot Fon at least 6 times, and Park was also hit with a bullet in Yim's living room in the early morning of April 2nd.
I don't know why they call it a living room. He killed a lot of people up
there. Yeah, I call that a dead space.
That's terrible. Funny.
Oh, yeah.
That's terrible.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sorry, I kept doing one shot, but he is scoring up and down. It is 46-3. Where's your God, dog?
Yep.
Where's your guy? Here's my guy. This one's for Jesus.
The Holy Trinity.
Where you going, Park? I believe. You better believe.
All right. Now pick up his controller.
And get to playing. And I better make a miraculous comeback.
What you thinking?
I'm thinking you gonna win.
Okay, yeah. Play, but don't play too hard.
There you go.
I want you to play, but don't play me too hard. I'm going to put my gun on my lap here.
Right here.
Sit it next to my sheet.
I call this the assistant coach.
Yeah. Matter of fact, turn that connect sense on.
818-514-1202. He proved it. You're gonna find out if God is real. I'm going to send you to him. You let me know.
All right.
Tell him Yim sent you. He know Yim.
Tell him I sent you Yim mail. That's dangerous and wrong, man.
All kind of wrong. 818-514-1202.
Y'all join this conversation that's coming up. Like I said, second hour.
Do atheists get on your nerve?
No.
Not you. I'm asking our loyal audience out there. Do atheists get on your nerve?
I got a lot of people.
I've never heard an atheist rub it in that bad, though, but I guess the cocaine kind of brought it out.
Nah, you know what? I've met quite a few, and the thing about it is, they're less aggressive.
I was
going
to say, they usually
Christian.
Tend to be more mellow.
Yeah, they don't really come
not,
up to you.
Not Fon.
No, Fon. See, Fon wasn't. Fon was the. Well, he was the one who believed. Right?
No, Yim was the one who had to prove a point.
Yeah.
Fon was the one who got the point.
I got it.
But
see, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, most of the atheists or whatever that I see, they are like the more laid back type of, hey, man, you know, hey, look, I'm just about living a good life. That's more or less. What
right,
they are. They
right.
Just,
that's
like,
your
hey,
thing.
Man, I just
no,
wanna live a good
I'm
life.
Not trying to put a reef on my door. I'm just trying to be cool,
look, man. Hey, no need. I mean, I might buy you some on the 25th. Depends on how I feel.
Because I like you.
Yeah,
no
you
problem.
Know, whatever. But as far as you know, this dude at my house. Nah, this dude coming down my chimney and all of them things. Nah.
Yeah.
That's it's a well, lot.
My
of
man was. Where's your
there.
God?
I don't.
If your God was real, your skills would be better.
Ooh, boom, boom, and then that's
and
what
then
Park in the back. Ooh, you gonna let him do that to you, God?
Dude, he's godless and he's kicking your ass. Play better.
He hit him with the and I'm playing with the Raiders. Come
oh,
on,
you know
bro.
What? They probably wasn't even playing Madden. They was playing one of them zombie games. And then Yim was like, you know, yeah, when the apocalypse come, I'm gonna be ready. And he's like, right now you're not doing too hot. What you gonna do when
hold
it really happens?
Hold it. Yeah, what you gonna do now? See, this is undead.
Yep,
people.
They were playing the undead and got into, you know, my man Fon was just like, yeah, I love these games, man. But he's like, and Zim was like, yeah, you know what's gonna happen, right? Fon was like, nah, man, no, it's just a game.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, and Yim was like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. The dead is coming back to life.
You don't believe.
And I'm going to be on Team Jesus.
I'm going to let that one go.
All right.
We're going to do this. But
okay, go
of,
ahead.
Speaking of some bad people, right? My man George Zimmerman back in the news.
The Zim dog. Oh, well, hold on. I do got a sound effect for Zimmerman.
Okay.
It's a stand your ground sound effect.
That's really too soon, man.
Too soon.
Too soon for that. That's wrong. That's a little early. But then again, it's Truth Brothers Radio. What the hell? George Zimmerman arrested for pulling a gun on his wife and threatening her dad.
Let me tell you something, old man. Making me feel like I'm under duress. You know how I get when I'm under duress.
George went to his room, said, there's an old man in my house, and he's looking real poor. These goons, get away.
You're gooning me right now, sir. And I'm starting to think you get away with this a lot. I'm starting to think you get away with this a lot.
I hate George Zimmerman. Let's just get that clear.
State the obvious.
I hate George Zimmerman. Like, that dude's an idiot, but check it out.
How much do you hate George Zimmerman?
On a scale of 1 to 10, 44.
The Zimmerman hate meter is open, everybody. 818-514-1202.
Give us a number.
Don't give me a number. Say, I hate George Zimmerman as much as I hate Hitler.
No. I hate George Zimmerman so much that I like him if I didn't hate him. Makes no sense.
How much you hate him.
That's how much you hate him. It has to make no sense.
Like, do you hate herpes or Zimmerman? Yeah, see?
I can live with herpes.
They got cream for that. They got cream for Zimmerman.
They don't make water hot enough to get Zimmerman off you. They don't make toothpaste strong enough to get that Zimmerman taste out your mouth.
There you go.
Yeah, that's... Oh, God. Look, no charges will be filed against George Zimmerman.
Of course not. George never gets charged. Hell no. Why would we charge him? That man, boy, all y'all are out. He must be Charlie Brown. They go, put your gun away, Charlie Brown. I hit him with it.
I killed Snoopy.
Linus. No. I killed Linus. And I sold him the stuff.
Linus is dead.
Sold him the stuff. Put your gun away, that's going to be a new commercial. Put your gun away, Charlie Brown, the Zimmerman story. Good grief. No one ever likes the Zimmerman.
That's what he said. All these
he said Trayvon came up to him and called him a blockhead. And kept pulling the football away. And Zimmerman's had enough.
Good grief. That's crazy. Let's finish this.
Yes,
why
sir.
Don't we? No charges will be filed against George Zimmerman after an alleged altercation with his estranged wife and her father. Lake Mary, Florida police said...
The wife who lied for him and went to jail for him.
And the one who said, oh, he's arrogant now.
And wants to leave me.
Ooh, and I saw Shelly. Have you seen Shelly Zimmerman?
Yeah, I seen
Shelly. Yeah, no need.
I seen Shelly.
Shelly Zimmerman has declined.
Don't worry, Shelly. Zimmerman ain't gonna do better.
Has declined prosecution after consulting with her attorney. Boy, Zimmerman must know people. He has to.
Don't forget, his father was a judge. He's got connections.
George Zimmerman has been temporarily detained by the police.
Temporarily.
Zimmerman told 911 that he had threatened her and her father with a weapon. We all know what that weapon of choice was.
We know what that weapon was. Put it like it wasn't a belt.
Right. It was the Martin murderer. On the 911 call, Shelly Zimmerman, who filed for divorce last week, is breathing heavily when she tells the dispatcher that Zimmerman is still at her house. Quote, he's in the car and he continually has his hand on his gun.
But he was just calm and just cool.
Come on.
Wow.
And he's saying, step closer.
Traffic.
Dude, I'm reading this. I'm reading this. Y'all think I'm making this up.
And Zimmerman was on the phone saying, she is marking out spots on the concrete for my face.
Let me say this one more time.
Go ahead.
She says he is in the car and continually has his hand on his gun. And he's saying, step closer.
Goon.
He's just threatening all of us with his firearm.
Not Zimmerman.
Shelly Zimmerman also tells 911 that George Zimmerman punched her father in the nose. Kind of like he punched himself in the nose to take some pictures. Then smashed her.
He knows he's good at them nose shots.
My God. Then smashed her iPad because that contained the evidence of what really happened that night with Trayvon.
There you go.
Before getting in his truck. I don't know what he's capable of. Ask Trayvon's family what he's capable
of. You was quick on. Oh no, Your Honor, he is the most loving, kind man.
He really wouldn't
hurt a fly.
Now a dog, that's something different.
Wow.
Mark O'Mara.
Yes, sir. Everyone's favorite lawyer.
Mark O'Mara, George Zimmerman's attorney, and a CNN legal analyst said there was heightened emotion and a disagreement took place. Kind of like, hey, those aren't Skittles. Those are M&M's.
And she came outside eating Skittles. Get from around here, George.
My God. O'Mara said Shelly Zimmerman no longer lives at the house, which is owned by her father. It's her father's house. Let me finish this.
Yep. Here we go.
O'Mara said Shelly Zimmerman no longer lives at the house, which is owned by the father, David Bryant Dean, and had to come to it to retrieve some belongings. Okay, after he was initially detained by officer, George Zimmerman was interviewed at the house by detectives, Lake Mary policeman Zach Hunson said. Zimmerman had offered to turn over surveillance tapes from security cameras at the house.
He's got surveillance, yeah, because he is nervous.
Shelly Zimmerman called 911 just after 2 p.m. Eastern time. George Zimmerman had a bodyguard in the truck with him when police arrived.
Yes, sir. A bodyguard. Because he can afford that.
Police had drawn their guns down and told the bodyguard, stand by out of the way. I thought they was going to say stand your ground.
I thought that was coming, too.
Woo, here we go. Police said Dean spoke with first responders, but was not threatened but was not treated by paramedics. The incident came 2 months after Zimmerman, a neighborhood watch volunteer, was found guilty of murder of shooting Trayvon Martin in Stanford, Florida. George's brother Robert,
there's another
goon, tweeted after his brother's detention to the public, he tweeted that the public shouldn't quote unquote jump to conclusions.
There's a logical explanation for this.
Shelly Zimmerman's divorce filings last week in Seminole County came after she pled guilty to perjury on August 28th for lying about the state of the couple's finances during a bond hearing in April 2012. She had claimed that she and her husband were flat broke when in reality they had collected over $135,000 just in donations. Since his acquittal in July, George Zimmerman has been in the headlines several times. In late July, he reportedly helped his family escape from an overturned SUV.
That he overturned.
Oh, I'm sorry. Most recently, George Zimmerman was pulled over in traffic twice. The first time he was given a verbal warning, told, you know, whatever, in Texas.
I like your face.
Get that headlight fixed. I like what you do for the
community. Get that headlight fixed.
The second one, he was issued a $256 speeding ticket that was paid by the officer.
I know they're chasing you, but.
Yeah, get out of here.
There you go.
I'm so done with
this.
There you go.
We'll go ahead and go into George's and his machinations after these messages. True Brothers Radio.
Being here in America doesn't make you an American. I don't see any American dream. I see an American nightmare.
Hard truth soldiering, hard truth soldier shit. Keep on serving them, cause you know.
Truth Brothers Radio.
If you join the army, you'll get an education unlike any other. Every single day, people will try and kill you. That'll teach you lessons you'll never learn in school. Improvised explosive devices, snipers, suicide bombers. That's why there's never been a better time to enlist. In the Navy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now them poor grunts are eating sand in 130 degree heat. We're catching cool breezes on the big ships, learning mad skills, and getting some.
Oh.
That's right. Navy's co-ed, baby. And our lady sailors bathe every day.
Oh.
In co-ed showers.
Oh.
I ain't lying. Hell, out here with the big guns, we can practically guarantee you won't die. Unless you party too hard. Call your Navy recruiter today. We'll pay for college, and it won't cost you an arm and a leg. Navy. Because joining the Army is just stupid.
You have to stop killing us!
Brothers Radio, we're back.
Hold
and
on, put this cardboard up. I just got through.
Doing the break dance.
Shout out to everybody listening to us, man, live right now. You know, via whatever service you're doing over the internet or the web. Janice Javon, thanks for checking in with the True Brothers. We appreciate that.
Yeah, real nice, real nice. And Navy, we'll be seeing Syria soon.
That's
real.
Yeah,
that's real.
Obama.
This week. On the week of September 11th, bow your
right.
heads, it is going to be debate time.
Floor door weekend.
It is going to be debate time, and I'll be. Do you want a mushroom cloud, people?
That's what we asked.
That's what's going to get made. Only this time, the black guy's going to make it.
I cannot believe.
I can't wait to hear what my president is going to say, because you really, boy, you really going to have to sell me on something, because I'm just not buying it. I am not buying what the hell you're
saying. Did you see the video that they said, oh, see, these the chemical effects that it have, and did you see the little Syrian people, quote unquote, twitching on the floor?
Well, I'm not even, you know what, I don't know.
I don't know,
but I do know that. I was seeing people helping people, but
yeah.
they wasn't getting contaminated and getting sick. And on
that's
a chemical attack, that's usually what can happen. But that's not to say that it didn't happen. If they did it, I'm still like, why do I want to send another young man over there, another place to get PTSD and then have to come back here unemployed and have to cope with that crap? Not fair.
And he don't even have an iron suit.
And he don't have an iron suit, right?
So I'm just saying.
Two weeks we got an episode about war coming up, and that's one everybody gonna get to chime in on, because we'll know what's going on by then.
Of course, but see the thing is, again, when we was talking about this last week,
yeah.
I still don't get the concept of why you putting your finger in that business. That's all I'm saying.
That's where I'm at.
Why is your finger in that?
You can explain
McDonald's
to me.
McDonald's workers are asking for $15 an hour, but you saying, nah, we need
Lockheed
to go.
Martin needs that money.
Exactly. You got your unemployment dropped to 7.3%.
Yeah.
But instead of, hey, if you raise the minimum, here's what I had a conversation with somebody about. If you raise the minimum wage to $10 an hour. $10 an hour, right? This is something I think my president should be working on. Just my personal opinion.
Gotcha.
Like we were sitting there, you made the minimum wage to $10 an hour, you creating jobs. Which I think we were sitting there listening to that. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
You raise the minimum wage.
My man Tom Hartman. Oh.
Right.
Hey,
that's who we were saying.
Yeah. He's very smart dude. A lot of people out there, y'all should he's got a show on Free Speech TV. He's got a radio show. Smart dude. Hey, man, that white guy is very, very smart.
You gotta say white guy.
Because he is. He's just a smart white man. He
like,
is.
Yeah, he can't just be a smart man.
Well, sure, he could, but he's a smart white man. He just is. He's not a dumb. George Bush was a dumb white man.
Ah.
Gotcha. I'm just saying.
Gotcha.
Not. I'm just the dude that the cat is smart.
Sarah Palin was a dumb white man.
There you go.
Okay. But no, seriously, man. Like, I mean, these are all the problems I feel like my president should be addressing. You'd rather go over there and help Syria, but Detroit is struggling. All the things that you should be doing. And
not to say you can't do both at the same time, but what are you going to accomplish by going over there bombing them?
Exactly.
Number one, you're not gonna bomb the sites where you think the chemical weapons are, because if you bomb the chemical weapons,
boom,
you're gonna release the chemical weapons
boom
and gas the people that you were supposedly punishing him for gassing.
First off, see,
Russia done came out the picture. Russia done came
right
out.
Right, Russia, Great Britain.
No, Russia. Great Britain is still sitting on the fence. France came.
Yeah.
France came, and Russia. Secretary of State John Kerry said, "Hey, you know what? You want to get out of this ass whooping? Give us your chemical weapons. You want to get out this ass whooping? Give us your chemical weapons." Assad and Russia said, "Bet, dog. Bet. We'll hand this stuff over to you to prove we didn't do it.
Right.
Now what you want to do?" Now they like, "Look, man.
Right.
Look, man.
Now they pointing the finger. Like,
I don't believe you.
But we gave it to
if
you.
We don't get every canister, we still kicking your ass."
And I'm like, here's the
why
thing.
Why does Obama want to kick their ass
you
so
know
bad?
Why? We kill people that kill people because killing people is wrong. That's just
exactly
it. That's just
exactly
what it is.
Exactly.
In
America.
Boys,
we kill people
that kill people because killing people is wrong.
That sounds like a public service announcement. That sounds like a public
America.
Killing people for killing people because killing people is wrong. That's been brought to you by Lockheed Martin.
And some young hoe.
Happy Enders Incorporated. It's just I'm like I say, 2 weeks everybody, get your opinions together, tell your friends. This is a time where everybody just say how you feel. That's all. That's what this show is for. Call up, say how you feel. You got something to say right now on it, the lines is open. We have no problem with letting you speak your piece.
Of course.
I just don't see the point to gassing them. I don't. I mean, I don't see the point to bombing them.
I really don't. You
there's
know what?
There's no
you
conclusive
question.
Evidence that say that this dude who, A, was winning the Civil War.
That's what I was about to.
Would
I was
gas
about
somebody to have other people jump in the Civil War that he's winning.
A couple of things, though, real quick. This is an issue I gotta have with my president, and I gotta have with my people who's actually, I ain't gonna even say knowledgeable enough, but anybody who even pays some form of attention. If George Bush was about to do this, we'd be flipping our heads up. Nigga, he's stupid.
He's stupid.
He's this. He's that. Whatever. But everybody, like now, I'm feeling like this is just my opinion. Obama is pulling a Bush move right now.
Bomber Bush,
because, dude, give me a reason.
Yeah,
give me something solid. You have to
give
tell
me. Why not? You know what? If he did it, show me a mushroom cloud. Show me a gas cloud. Show me the green mist.
Now, again,
show me something.
There is stuff that he knows that we can't know.
True. This is true. But there's also stuff that other people in the world know. And there's other reporting, like in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
German newspapers are reporting that the rebels may have released some gas in the neighborhood to provoke the U.S. into jumping in.
That.
Now, that's from Germany.
I've heard
that.
That's not, I don't know how
that's
true
not
that
from,
is.
That's not from Al Jazeera before someone say that, you know, well, they going to say that. The Germans is like, hey, you know, this is what we heard.
Okay.
And a source from the newspaper said it was like the German CIA, German intelligence agency, is saying that they thinking that it's some puckery in the game. They just saying it's some puckery in the game. They not sure. Now here's my problem. We are all up in arms, and everybody in the world, they want to rally up and say, "Hey, Let's go ahead and take care of this because this is wrong and this is an atrocity.
Right.
But what they not telling y'all is over there in Japan, remember the tsunami?
Mm-hmm.
And remember the nuclear plant that got hit by the tsunami?
Mm-hmm.
That plant is pouring tons and tons of radioactive water into the ocean at a pace that they cannot control. They can't stop this. They can't stop the nuclear plant from dumping all of this radioactive water. And the radioactive water is trying to keep the core of the plants that got tore up cool, so that the things don't overheat and go, you know, supercritical and
right.
all of that. But it's still pouring out into the ocean, and it's headed into the ocean towards us. San Francisco, you know.
The Bay Area.
Hawaii, all that. You know, you could be sitting there surfing and glowing at the same time.
Yep.
But I don't see John Kerry and Obama, you know, my president. I voted for him.
Right.
I'll take that and say, hey, we need to be trying to fix this. I think that's more of a pressing problem than they little infighting over there.
And that's you said the key word, infighting.
Family matters.
It's a family problem.
We truth brothers.
Right.
Me and you.
Right.
Me and you. But if I'm at your house and you and your actual brother get into it.
Right.
I'm going to have to take my beer and say, hey, you know what? Y'all need to talk that out. But I tell you what, I'm going to go home.
Exactly.
Because that's family.
You ain't going to jump in and hit my brother.
I'm not going
to
write. Hey, wait a minute. That's Devon from Truth Brothers Radio. And then I hit your brother because then blood kick in.
Exactly. And that's the point I see. That was my
right.
other thing I was going to say.
Damn you, Devon, for hitting your brother. I'm going to hit your brother.
Right. Exactly. Now, see, and then here's my thing. You go over there, and we coming to help. And Cereal was like, hey, man, we didn't need your help. And they's like, yeah, why are y'all helping them? You just gave them the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
But here's the problem. I know you see John McCain, grumpy old man.
No arms, taking
pictures with the rebels and talking about how good they are because they rebels and we was rebels once in America and blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that.
Yeah,
but I'm letting y'all know right now all the people that's fighting in Syria aren't Syrian. A lot of them people just like to find
that.
Out where the nearest scrap is
right.
so they can get it in and hope that America jumps in so that they can help fight them. The same people that's fighting in the Syrian civil war
right.
is the same people from the outside that was fighting in Iraq. That's a fact. A lot of the same elements, a lot of the same groups. And now they saying, hey, you know what, America, give us some weapons so we can fight this guy. And it's happened before. You're going to give them all of this stuff, and then at the end, they're going to shoot you with it.
And the thing is, and it's all, again, to go back to what we said, it's infighting.
In
you
fighting.
Got enough problems in your own country that you have to deal with. Nobody said, hey, man, I don't see, you owe, hey, here's the thing, China, Asia, all these places, You're in debt to them. Let's just be real in the door. You're in debt to them. One, because you went over to Afghanistan to get all that opium because you need to pay them back. And if you can take control of the opium, you could probably pay off some of your debt over to China. Let's just be real. We're going to get that in the door.
Okay.
Now.
818-514-1202. Dude, the board done just lit up. I just want
right.
to encourage some people.
Oh, yeah.
Push that number one and join
number
in.
Join the conversation. Absolutely. Now, when you go into opium and having to pay your whole, you know, debt back to them, whatever,
there you
we'll
go.
Do that.
Yes.
But when Detroit was struggling, you can't make a new crisis.
F Detroit.
You can nobody. I didn't see Detroit. I ain't see Detroit. I ain't see Asia. I ain't see China. I ain't see France. I ain't see Syria. I ain't see nobody say, okay, man, you know what? Let's lend them a few to get them out of there. And that's just Detroit. I'm starting small. Detroit.
F Detroit.
So now
nope.
all
you
of
know what the, you know what Congress said to Detroit? That's your city, baby. Peace.
Right.
You got to go.
Y'all got mayors that like to do lines.
And well, just real quick, if we're going to just dab on Detroit real quick, I'm going to let y'all in on another point of fact. Detroit is broke. True. That's very true. But a lot of the money that Detroit brings in goes into the state coffers, and the Republicans run the state of Detroit. Maybe Ramona's listening, and he might can verify everything that I'm telling you right now.
WLUV.
There you go. And it goes into the state coffers, and then the state boys are not giving that money back to Detroit. They holding on to it, strangling them out. Then they put the city manager in there and say, oh, we got to file for bankruptcy. And that's just a way to start breaking up the city infrastructure and all this and
I
that.
I want to see papers because I want you to define broke to me. Like, I would have to see.
They're not broke like you broke. They broke like Donald Trump is broke.
Right, exactly.
In other words, we got $12 billion coming in, but we owe $16
billion. There you go.
That's, you know.
Yeah, I guess. But we're
it's
not paying
that type of part.
That $4 billion. You know,
right.
People ain't getting paid.
Right.
Whatever. So, I mean, yeah, because I'm.
It's all a game.
Dang, you're not. Man, you don't have the tools to play this game. You're playing Monopoly without chance cards.
Exactly.
That's how
exactly.
They treat
you. And I'm tired of seeing young men and women having to go over there. This will be the third war.
Exactly.
The third war over there
and
in the last 13 years.
And again,
roughly.
Yeah, no, you're
you know,
right,
September 11th was 2001.
Right.
So still, we could, okay, in the last 10 years,
yeah.
This will be
no,
the third
right.
war, you
so,
know,
my,
and that's bull. I'm tired of it. And I don't care that this week is September 11th week. Please don't throw that at me because I don't care.
But
I feel for the people that passed.
Absolutely.
But I don't care. I don't want to see any more people die over garbage. Now, there's. Don't get me wrong. I'm not.
But you
I'm
got
not
everybody
gonna be waving
gonna be
the peace flag over everything.
And you got a lot of people out there that's gonna be saying this is a pure false flag operation, like the
Alex Jones and all of them.
Yeah,
but
Alex
you know
Jones
what? There's
a
time. Look, there's a time to fight. Don't
yeah.
get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. When September 11th jumped off, and we knew that it came from roughly Afghanistan, I was all, hey, Afghanistan got to get the foot. They got to get a foot.
Right.
But then when they flipped it and said, and Iraq too. I was like, whoa. No, Iraq didn't do nothing.
Exactly.
You got to know. This
you had a dumb president who didn't know how to work.
No, he knew what he was doing.
No, I knew he knew what he was doing.
Right.
But what I mean by he didn't know how to explain it to the people properly
enough.
No,
he explained it enough because all they did was pull the America card.
But that's,
you don't have to explain nothing when you shut debate down. If you sit there and say, wait a minute, Mr. President, Iraq had nothing to do with this. And, huh? What's going on? There you go.
Iraq.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the minute that you tried to say something with some sense in it, then you were unpatriotic.
Exactly.
And they fell for that.
And that's
they
what
fell for.
They fell for it. But how do you? Well, I can't say how can you explain that to somebody with knowledge because. I seen before George Carlin, rest in peace, love that dude.
Yes, sir.
Before he died, Whoopi even got into the everybody who
God, and when Whoopi can see something,
exactly.
Jesus Christ, because Whoopi is not exactly a brain scientist.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's not. She's not dumb, but she's not
smart.
She's not dumb,
but she's not smart.
I wouldn't say define smart.
Somebody who understands that the Egyptians were black.
There you go. All right. There we go. Yeah.
Hard
to have a tan like
but
that.
But I digress.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But no, I mean it's hard to explain somebody who has a slight brain cell that explain to me why we're going after our
right. Life. And then you showing well they had yellow cake. I'm not trying to buy all of that. And Saddam was you kept trying to tell us that Saddam was meeting with the people that he hates.
Yeah.
But people don't understand that because they just thought they were all Arabs and it didn't matter. No one even understood the dichotomy and how that worked over there.
Crazy with people who were so patriotic. All they did was anybody who had a wrap around their head or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
We hate them.
Yep.
But see, and
like
running
the idiot who
was,
shot up the Sikh temple.
Exactly.
I see a turban and a big mustache. You look like Hassan Chop. I'ma shoot you.
Exactly. And my issue is like the running joke was what to call them? The Iraqis or whatever you want to call them are the new blacks. That anybody from Afghanistan was the new blacks. That was
what
the running joke.
What, huh?
Because they were getting treated how we were supposed to get it.
Oh, you mean during September 11th when all of a sudden being black was an asset? Because they, oh, you are a friend. Yeah.
As long as you're not one of them.
Right. It was a new thing, but that only lasted for a minute.
Yeah, that's when LL Cool J and your boy put that song together. Racism is dead.
There you go.
We killed it together.
There
but
you go.
Five minutes until we finish, jump to the next topic is femininity dead? We have Rhonda E. Lee who will be joining us really, really soon. And
you're right. And we're about to get into it. We definitely want to hear from you ladies. I definitely want to hear from you ladies. This isn't about the Truth Brothers bashing on ladies. It's not about that at all. I really want to hear you ladies talk it out and get it out there and explain. It's got to be some stuff out there that irks you that
you see
some of these younger ladies or some of these older ladies do.
What happened, though, I actually had a conversation with somebody real quick. I actually had a conversation with a female who actually said, you know, I saw this situation. Let me say that. A man was, he had his woman with him, and he held the door open for her, right? And the girl went through, and another woman was coming in. And he was still holding the door, and she told him, let the door go. Just don't let the, no, you only hold the door for me. And the bro was like, yo, I'm just holding the door. It's how I was raised. It's what I was taught to do as far as being a man, treating a man, you know, as a man, holding the door for ladies, opening doors for ladies altogether. But we'll get into that topic a little later.
Yeah, we'll pick up with that on the other side of the break. Because I want you to finish that point, because I got some comments about that, too.
Cool.
And then Rhonda A. Lee will be with us when we jump on the other side of Truth Brothers Radio.
All right.
Truth Brothers Radio. Truth Brothers Radio.
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage. Jones Barbecue Foot Massage. Better come down here, get some of this shit. You like to eat? America loves to eat. So why not open up somewhere America can sit down, enjoy a meal, and get their feet rubbed? We'll fry anything you want for $5.99. As long as it's fryable or edible, we're going to make it deliciousable. We will fry parts of the chicken you didn't even know was fryable. The beak, the feathers, we'll fry candy bars. All that European stuff that you don't really normally eat, we'll bring it down here and fry it for you. Ask McDonald's to fry something other than what they normally fry. Guess what you're going to get? Nothing. If it fit through the dough, I'll put it in the fryer. Hell, this is a dinosaur. All our meats are gently tenderized to their optimum deliciousness. We got fine dinosaur meat. Took my money, made me pay child support. Come on down here and get you a slice. Once they get your social security number, it's over. Motivated, 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 motivated. So friends, let's just decide you don't want no barbecue. Well, that's fine too. Why not let one of my foot specialists or myself perform our magic? Look at that, don't they look wonderful? If you really pay me enough, we'll massage your feet in any of these sauces also. Success is the rule down here, Jones. Good ass barbecue and foot massage. So go ahead and give me a call or find us on the worldwide internet at the new website. That's Jones, bigasstruckrentalandstorage.com/Jones. Good ass barbecue and foot massage. HTML.
Excuse me, did you call number 52?
Did you hear me call number 52?
Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202. 1202.
And as always, you guys know you can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net, and truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
And we got the chat room wide open and popping, and we got a couple of people in there. My man Joe Neckbone just checked in. What's going on, Joe?
Yes, sir. Long time no hear. And we got everybody on the board. We see y'all who's calling in, listening, man. Thank y'all for hanging out with the Truth Brothers tonight. When we jump into this, it's Femininity Dead. Now, right before we get in there, we got to introduce our special guest who will be joining us today. She is now officially Truth Brothers family. I'm so happy that we've had her on. She's just like, what, a third or fourth appearance with us right now. So happy that she's here. We got Miss Rhonda, Miss Meteorologist Rhonda A. Lee. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you today?
Great. Hey,
get your love. Get your love.
How are you doing?
Thank you very much.
Happy to have you back. How have you been?
I've been good. You know, it's been hot here in Louisiana the last few days or so, and I've been pregnant, which makes for double discomfort. But other than that, everything's great.
What's the big announcement? But yes.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's about 2 weeks from now. So let's not push it.
Don't have the baby while we're doing the show, please. We can't do that right now. But I guess your femininity is in full effect right now.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? That is the perfect segue. That truly is.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And again, before we get into this conversation, again, thank you for having us here. And anybody who will thank you for being here with us. And anybody who wants to join the conversation, again, 818-514-1202. And don't forget to press the number 1 if you would like to join in. And, Rhonda, right before, I don't know if you heard, but right before I went on the break, I was talking about a situation that I had seen where a guy was, you know, he was at a restaurant, he was leaving, and he held the door open for his we're going to assume this was his girlfriend. And, you know, he let his girlfriend, you know, precede him out the door. And as he was doing that, he saw a woman who was headed towards the door, you know, not too far back, and he held the door open for her. As he didn't let it go at all. He was just holding it so she could come in. But his girlfriend had told him, hey, let that door go. Don't hold the door for her. And I took it as I'm sitting there and I'm looking at that. I'm like, you know, he's just being a gentleman, you know, holding the door for somebody because, you know, every now and again you get that old adage that chivalry is dead. And, you know, by this situation happening, I didn't know how to take it. And, I mean, is that a sign that femininity may be leaving or femininity is dead altogether?
Well, I think that is an odd situation. I would never, ever dream of asking somebody to shut the door on somebody. That's just rude. It's classless, I think, more than anything. Not knowing the whole situation, maybe they've had some other conversation prior to that. Maybe he's held the door open too long for certain looking women. I don't know. But I would have to say that as far as femininity goes, I think we as young women nowadays, we've been given a platform that we haven't had before. And as women, we're allowed to say a lot more without it being looked upon as, you know, being unfeminine. But at the same time, I think a lot of times, unfortunately, we've had a little bit of trouble putting our filters on. And I'm not saying that. I think that women in general probably just need to be shut down with everything that they say and don't speak how they feel. But there is a way to say things, a way to form phrases that I will say I believe is honestly kind of gone by the wayside. And I blame that on social media just like anything else. I mean, we have a tendency nowadays to hide behind the mask of anonymity. And sometimes with that mask, comes our lack of femininity. And I think there's a good definition out there for being a grown woman, you know, for being classy, for knowing how to phrase things, knowing which fork to use. And those kind of things are actually pretty important. We've let a lot of that go over, since the 50s. I think that's probably going too far back. What with etiquette, you know, with being able to dress up for special occasions. I mean, I've seen some women show up to weddings wearing jeans and, you know, their studded Ed Hardy shirt. And like, I know I look good. No, you don't. You really don't.
Yep. And Yeah, and I think you hit on something there, and this whole lack of, you know, it's not cool to be Emily Post, and you know, a lot of people don't know that's the lady who kind of wrote the book on etiquette all of that, and you know, it's about knowing when to wear a suit. There's people, I've seen too many people go to church in club suits. There's a difference. There's a business suit, there's a club suit, and there's a formal suit, and people don't even understand the difference with that anymore. And you were talking about weddings. I see people you see the older people go to a funeral. The older people are dressed up in a suit and prepared to mourn properly or whatever. But then you see a lot of the younger people and the kids running around in casual street clothes, T-shirt and gym shoes. Right, exactly.
Well, when it comes to femininity, though, I really feel, you know, there was a time when you have to be a lady, and I still firmly believe that. And I'm not at all saying that we all need to stay home and bake cookies, you know, vacuuming the house with our pearls and high heels on. I'm not at all saying that by any stretch. But I really think that class nowadays has pretty much gone out the window. And it's kind of frustrating to me because there's so many ways to address that very issue. We're in this weird place in time, I feel, where we have so much information at our fingertips but don't use it. And when it comes to being a woman, being a good, strong, American, black woman, unfortunately, more often than not, we've kind of lost our way. Again, I don't want to censor women from saying what it is that they feel or what's on their mind. I don't want anybody to think that. But I really think we need to probably Google etiquette sometimes. And that's a huge part of femininity.
Okay, Rhonda, we got a caller coming in right now, so we're going to patch them in.
Yep. 661, you are on with the Truth Brothers. What's your name?
Hey, what's up? It's your boy, Joe Nickon. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Joe? What's your comment, bro?
Yeah, man. Interesting topic, because this has been talked about over various shows for the last few days on both the male and the female side. And yes, I don't think so much losing femininity as it's being redefined. But to be honest, I'm glad I'm an old dude, man, because how it's being redefined now is just something beyond what I thought it could ever turn into or could be. See, you talk about chivalry, but most people don't talk about the other half of chivalry, which is there's a female part of it too. You know, it wasn't just the men. There was a female part of it, and that meant them being virtuous. And somehow that's gone out the window too. So
there you go. I'm putting Rhonda back in. Just hold on, Joe, because we've been having problems with board. So I'm going to put you on hold.
Oh, yeah, Blog Talk's been acting up, man, for real, you know?
Go ahead, Rhonda.
Yeah, I have to tend to agree with that. Again, but here's where I think a lot of times it gets tricky. And we've kind of stopped teaching our younger women how to grow up into being classy younger, or I should say our girls into classy or young women into viable women in general who can handle themselves adequately in public. And I think that it really does start at home, as they all say. You know, if you don't know which fork to use and you go out to a nice setting, it really does make a difference. I remember I used to work at Virginia State University in the late 90s and early 2000s, and it's a beautiful campus, nice people, but they, for a while there, I'll never forget when they had a class that had to teach people, the young women and men there, how to dress for an interview. Now, I guess I just took for granted that you show up to an interview in some semblance of a suit and tie, something that looks like a nice dress or pantsuit with your nice shoes on. But I remember seeing young people show up to these job interviews in their, in long baggy pants and some kind of, like, I always go back to the Ed Hardy shirt with the tight jeans. And jeggings on and a pair of high heels. Now, to them, this was their best outfit. But there were people from Gillette in Boston. They are looking for interns for the summer, and they left empty-handed because the young folks there just did not know what it was to come to an interview dressed looking like something. And like I said, for me, I'm thinking, how do you not know? But if you have never had to do it before, then there you go. That's how you don't know. Nobody ever taught you. And that's why it starts with self-confidence. If nothing else in this world, for people who have young kids, teach them self-confidence. And when it comes to femininity, with girls in particular, and particularly nowadays, I feel that a lot of our young ladies, at least trying to be themselves, have been put on blast as of late. And a prime example, what happened with Cheryl Underwood on the show The Talk, when she started talking about hair again and how, you know, black hair is not as beautiful, it's not as good. Why would you want to save black hair? Not when you have silky hair, she said. I was appalled at that, and that was mainly because of a story. And I think you guys actually have some of the audio from a story that aired a few days prior to that about a little girl whose self-confidence was shaken in Oklahoma.
We're actually about to play it right now, Rhonda. Let's get into that audio, and then we'll be right back. You guys, let's take a listen to this.
Yeah, it's coming. Hold on. There we go.
A dress code disagreement left a Tulsa family upset and a little girl in tears. Deborah Brown Community School says those rules, though, are in place for a reason. Fox 23's Frank Wiley talked with the child's father, who feels the school went too far, Frank.
Yeah, Deborah Brown is a charter school. They do things a bit differently, and they take pride in that. But lately, school pride has been the reason for some hurt feelings. Deborah Brown Community School is one student short for the remainder of the school year. Terrence Parker says the school hassled him so much, he didn't have a choice. So he yanked his 7-year-old daughter, Tiana, out of classes because of a disagreement that left her in tears. Terrence, who's a barber, says school officials at Deborah Brown told him Tiana didn't look presentable, specifically her hair.
Always presentable. You know, I take pride in my kids looking nice.
The charter school, though, has its own set of rules. While no one at the school agreed to speak with us on camera, Administrator Miller Jones told me Terrence Parker was fully aware of what was expected. But for his young daughter, it just hurts.
Why are you so sad?
Fox 23 reviewed the school's dress code. It states hairstyles such as dreadlocks, afros, mohawks, and other faddish styles are unacceptable. The school feels that could distract from the respectful and serious atmosphere it strives for.
She went to the school last year and didn't have any problem.
And he says her hair looked like this.
It hurt my feelings to the core.
I think that they should let me have my dreads.
Tiana, a straight-A student, wears a different school uniform now, but the same hairstyle, which looks perfectly fine, according to her new school. And Deborah Brown says it did not send Tiana home from school. She's now enrolled in a TPS school. We're live in Midtown. Frank Wiley, Fox 20.
Yeah.
That, every time I hear that, it just touches me to my core, because that is where femininity starts, is when you are a young girl, when you are trying to be accepted for who you are. Or, I mean, like, for example, this young lady was a straight-A student, and she was being singled out because of how she looked. I think we, at least as black people, have really, really got to start getting away from talking badly about our young girls and their appearance in their faces as if they don't matter. Somebody brought up a good point to me a few days ago after hearing this story. They said, well, no wonder our kids get shot in the street. We don't act like we love them, so why would anybody else act like they do too? And it's things like that that get in the way. What I found kind of frustrating about that is, if you were ever, I've been trying to find the link to their policy. It looks like the policy may have been taken off of their page. But if you read the next sentence down, there are safety guidelines for hair weaves at the same school. I don't know if you've seen that, but it says, like, no mohawks, no afros, no dreads, but your weave can be an inch below your shoulders for safety reasons.
And your weave an inch below your shoulders, because we definitely want y'all looking like us. So
right. That's
fine. Sew it in, glue it in. Just as long as you look like
and
us.
And they said that the fad and the trend. When did the afro become a fad or a trend?
Exactly.
I was worried about
that's a cultural hairstyle indigenous to black people and certain dudes.
But also, you guys, where it gets even more sad, going back to femininity, this is a like a 90-something percent black school, ran by 90, by basically almost all their administrators are black. Their entire board, it's a magnet school, or a charter school rather, and their entire board is black.
Mm-hmm.
And so that for me goes back to what I'm saying. We've got to start being more respectful of our own girls if we expect for other people to respect them as well. So for this woman to have this school and then to say nothing faddish like an afro, but you can wear a weave. It's okay for you to not be yourself is the message that was being sent to those girls, or I guess to that particular girl. And that's what's sad. That's where our femininity starts as a young girl.
Right, exactly. And part of that is because, you know, they're a magnet school or they feel that they're an elite school. They feel that they have to, they're more or less stripping these kids of a knowledge of self and an awareness of their cultural identity, and they're basically assimilating them into the mainstream culture. Right. We got another caller on the line, though. Let's get with them real quick. 918, you're on with the Truth Brothers. What's your name?
My name's Angela, and I happen to be from Tulsa. And the Deborah Brown, that school. Deborah Brown is an elitist who thinks she's been in business for about 4 or 5 years. That school has, you know, and her head's gotten bigger each and every year. And it's true. It's mainly African Americans that go to that school, and they all want to be white. They have that ideology. And living in Tulsa, where we've had the biggest race riot in the history of our nations, there's still impressions. You know, you can ask some of the children around in my neighborhood, you know, what hair is better, white or black? They will almost 80% say white hair. And I've talked to my daughter's friends. And my daughters are biracial. One's Latino and one's half Native American. Uh-huh. And it disheartens me to hear this. I don't hear this in other cities, but I hear this in my hometown. And Deborah Brown is, she's something else.
Okay.
She is something else.
Has anything like this happened at that school before? Have you heard anything of this magnitude happening?
I've heard children leaving and being homeschooled or going to the public schools. I homeschool my children, and I will hear, well, my child went to the Deborah Brown school. We have one lady that homeschooled her, is homeschooling her two sons that had gone to that school, and it was not a good, positive experience for them. And she's very much involved in her children's lives. It's not like she's checked out, you know. You know, she's a good parent, and the husband is too. I just haven't met him. I've heard a lot about him. But, you know, of course, he works during the day. And we have
right.
our meetings in the afternoons. And,
right.
You know,
right.
it's just, I think that's something that needs to be alerted. It's not the first time this has happened.
Right, and thank you for the call. But, yeah, you know, like I was saying, that she basically she has an assimilation center.
Right.
It's not really a school. It's an assimilation center. We're going to teach you how to assimilate into mainstream Western European culture. And as long as you reject who you are and your black self, then, you know, you're going to be fine. But if you want to hold on to something like dread, and anybody can find that, we're going to put that news thing up on our Facebook page, too, because the little girl's hair was just done up as a nice little girl.
And
there was nothing wrong with it.
Two quick things. One is a statement. The other one's going to be a question to Rhonda. The statement is, I have dreads. It's a spiritual thing to actually grow dreads. I'm going to be honest with you. It's one of them things that you, and I can understand why that girl was crying when she said
nice.
They didn't like my dreads because you're stupid. Because, you know, it's one of them things that you actually grow to love your hair. And that was something to Rhonda. I can kind of see why she related to the story, because something similar happened to her over an appearance
yeah.
and what went on with her hair.
Yeah.
So I totally can see why she related to that. Now, the question is to go back to femininity was, do you, Rhonda, do you believe a lot of these women feel like they don't want to become or be as feminine as like the women they seen during the I Love Lucy stages? During that time, because they feel like they'll be giving up the power, or feel like they're becoming weak, so to speak. They feel like they're giving up too much of everything that they feel like they worked for.
Well, Well, I think nowadays that mindset probably is way less prevalent than it would have been, I mean, would even say like 30 or 40 years ago, so I don't think so. I think, what, like I said before, I kind of feel like our problem is striking a balance between being a, for lack of a better term, I'll just say a yes woman, like yes, dear, no, dear, okay, perhaps, dear, okay, yes, sir, versus no, I don't want to, and I'm not going to because I don't have to. And that's one thing that a lot of women have had to struggle with, I think, from the beginning of time is, so I guess maybe, then again, maybe the answer to your question is yes, it is trying to balance giving up power as well as trying to balance your being your true self. And it's really a tough deal, or a tough thing for a lot of women nowadays to have to deal with, because we do, like I said before, have so much more power than what we used to. But at the same time, I'm not really convinced everybody's ready for all of our power all the time, as evidenced by, I think, what happened to me when I spoke up. That's when my trouble started. But if I had just sat there and let the guy talk badly about my hair, then who knows? You know, you and I may have never have met. So there's always it's tough to strike a balance when it comes to femininity. And I think a lot of times we could use a little extra push from our brothers now and then to help us get over that hump. Now, as I also said before, we also need to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. And a lot of times, again, that's another really tough balance that women nowadays have to deal with. We've made strides like never before, but there is clearly a long way to go.
Now, yeah, real quick, and I want to pose something to you and all the other ladies out there. And I recognize some of the phone numbers out there in the queue, and I know some. We got some family members and other ladies in the queue, and I want to ask you ladies this. Do you feel that maybe for a lot of women, they are attracted and are now intoxicated by the concept of masculinity? Because I see more and more women dressing like dudes and what they think masculinity is in America today. They think that masculinity is one, you got to have your little khakis or your jeans sagging. I see them in the Air Jordans, hat turned backwards, gold chain, you know, right. You know, they riding Harleys, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with a woman right. riding a bike, but some of them butch it up so hard that, you know, there's women who try to come at and fight dudes now on a regular. You know, we had a picture up on our Facebook page a couple of months back about, it looked like a whole bunch of dudes at like a concert or something sitting around some Tahoes and some trucks and all of that. Oh, yeah. But one of them was actually a woman. But you had to look really close to know that that was a woman. Is it kind of more in right now to act like a dude than it is to act like a female these days? And that's to Rhonda and everybody else out there. 818-514-1202. Join in and let's hear your piece. Rhonda?
Well, here's where it gets tricky. Define being a woman. You know, I think that that's one of those things, again, that we have to kind of define within ourselves. I don't think it's really fair to say, again, in order for me to ride the Harley, I still need to have all my pearls and pumps. So I think that's probably a bit of an unfair statement to, like, well, what is a woman? What do I have to be or look like or feel like or present to you in order to be seen as a woman? And I think there's probably a fair amount of women out there who would agree that my woman isn't going to be your woman. So again, it's striking that balance in your personal life, your authentic you, I think is a phrase that Oprah has used, in order to achieve your goal of womanhood. So I'm actually kind of interested in hearing what perhaps some of your callers have to say about that, because that was a pretty loaded statement you made there, sir.
That's true, and I'm only loading it for this reason, because one of the ways you can understand femininity is to understand what masculinity is. And there's a whole lot of guys who try to be feminine these days, and there's a whole lot of females that try to be masculine. And I think a lot of these blurred lines, so to speak, is what's causing a lot of gender confusion in the society. I believe that there's a, you can, of course, a woman can ride a Harley. I shouldn't have said the Harley part, because there are women who can ride Harleys, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's also a time where I don't believe that a woman should be so quick to want to jump up and try to fight me or try to fight a man. I don't think that's a good mix, and I'm not saying that women can't defend themselves or know how to defend themselves. Of course you can, but the genders are different for a reason, and I don't think that it's a good idea for a woman to just feel like she can jump up in a club and come at a dude. It's not good.
And I feel what you're saying, and I don't think that and I'm gonna say this, I don't think that women, if you're gonna, like Grotto was saying, I don't think women who, if you're gonna ride a Harley, you have to wear pearls.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that's because, one, you don't want to wear heels riding the bike. Trust me, I know that.
Really?
No, but you fall off a bike. You know, I never put heels on. We'll just clear that up later. But anyway, the reason I say that is because you said an interesting statement there, Ronnie. When you're like, "What is the woman in you?" It's just a way woman. It's like it's feminine walk. It's feminine ways dressed. And I'm not saying that a woman can't wear what she wants to wear, but we do have a thing where you can say that, okay, men are supposed to wear those clothes. Not that it's not for you. It's just like, okay, that's not ladylike. How many times, and I mean, I'm going to ask this, how many times to anybody, how many times have you walked outside and seen a woman was like, yo, she looks like a dude? And it's not because of her haircut. It's not strictly because of what she, how she talks. It's just strictly of what she might have on. Or it's something like, what's the girl who we listen to that don't wear pearl necklaces? We
talk Rachel
about
Maddow.
Rachel Maddow.
Right. That's but Rachel Maddow is cool. Don't get me wrong. Rachel Maddow is
I love
great.
Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
I love Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, nobody's taking away from her femininity. It's just little things she does.
Right. She just, like, get them pearls out my face.
And it's not saying that she's supposed to wear pearls because she's a woman. I got to keep clarifying that. But it's little things that she does that throws you on the fence. Like, is she, you know, on the guy's side?
Right. Right.
You know, that's all I'm saying. It's just little things I see in women. And another thing is, a guy does not want to be with another guy. A guy wants a woman to have some.
Right. I'm looking at a balance
themselves.
against what I'm projecting.
Exactly. If I'm presenting more masculine and everything out there, I don't want somebody who come be masculine with me, because if that was the case, I'll be gay and I'll just get with a dude. That's not the thing. It's like I want. Mostly dudes I know, rather, they want a woman to be a woman. And it's hard to say that and without sounding sexist. I'm not trying to.
Well, it's not about sounding sexist, but I know what manhood is to me. When I look in the mirror, I know when I'm dressing or what I want to, I'm going to project an air of manhood. And when I'm looking for a female to be my mate or to be my girlfriend or my wife or whatever, I'm looking for someone who's going to strike that counterbalance so they can say, oh yeah, you know, you also taught as a kid what manhood is supposed to be, and men are also taught you don't strike a female,
exactly.
You don't fight a female.
Exactly.
But
that goes back to the whole the definition thing that we were talking about before. What is a woman? What is a female? So it kind of opens up a floodgate of, is there a definition of femininity that can actually literally, you know, tangibly be defined? For example, I call myself some kind of armchair football expert, but I think a lot of my female friends are like, I don't do football, that's for my husband, that's for my boyfriend. But for me, that's just a way of life, but does that make me any less feminine? I don't know.
She's great. There's nothing more than a woman who likes football. Intoxicated by the testosterone and what the men are bringing when they playing football. And that's why you play football. They're not scoring touchdowns for us. They're scoring touchdowns for y'all.
Is
that what it is? But at the same time, you know, I also think that there's a lesson to be had. And I want to say one of your callers or someone had brought it up earlier about there are two sides of femininity. There's, you know, the woman's side, and there is the man's side as well. So I really liked the way that he kind of juxtaposed those two concepts, because in order for somebody to be chivalrous, somebody has to accept the gift, if you will, of chivalry. And I think as women, we've kind of fallen out of line in wanting to accept it, which again circles back to what you're talking about with holding the door open. The whole independent woman thing is all good, and I'm all for it, but again, there's a time and a place. And I think, ladies, we've become so independent that when a man does offer us that bit of femininity from way back when, we're not always exactly sure how to accept it. And that, I think, is a struggle that, again, if we start off as kids, boys being taught to respect girls in all things, and girls being able to accept a man and his role, if that is something that you subscribe to, a male role, then it needs to be taught from an early age and then continually taught and drilled into these kids' heads until they become older. But like I said, with girls, it's a lot more tricky because girls need to be told they are pretty. I'm not going to say it's unfortunate. It's the one thing that every woman on earth has in common with each other, and that is we all want to be seen as pretty. And that's why you hear folks with anorexia coming up because they went through all this, bulimia and so on and so forth, and self-mutilation in all its forms. But that is one thing that every woman on earth has in common, is that we all want to be seen as pretty.
Yeah, we gotta take a real quick break. That was a great comment too.
Yeah, it was.
We gotta take a real quick break. Joe Neckbone, we see you with your comment.
Yep,
man.
You're coming
come
back.
As soon as we come back on the other half of this break, we're gonna get to your comment and more with Rhonda A. Lee, Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I hear voices in my head. They count to me. They understand. They talk to me. You got your rules and your ambition, all designed to keep you safe. But when rules start getting broken, you start questioning your faith.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I love you, baby.
Oh, maybe that's what Thompson.
Confirming.
Can't wait.
Be a great game night. Read message.
New message from Shaniqua. Hey, sexy teddy bear.
Oh.
I cannot wait to see that tight ass early in the morning. You will never forget this kitty cat. I ain't got no panties on.
What? Who? I don't know. Whew.
Teddy bear?
Wrong number. I've been getting that a lot
this
week. He
said your name.
Government.
Say hello to Siri on the most amazing iPhone yet.
New message from your wife. I want a divorce.
Truth Brothers Radio.
There's a fire starting in my heart. You did not see, but this is bringing me out the door.
Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. We're back. We are talking about Is Femininity Dead? We've got our special guest, Rhonda A. Lee, the official meteorologist of Truth Brothers Radio, on the line. And we're going to go ahead and jump in. Joe, you had another comment. What you got now?
Yeah, I wanted to say that, in our society, we get our first template for manhood and femininity from our parents. And with the rise of single-parent households, both male and female, that passage of knowledge is broken. So you get a lot of brothers that are growing up into grown males that have a very interesting definition of what it is to be a man, and a lot of women who are growing up without males in the household who have a very interesting definition of what it is to be women. And these guys are making children, and again, passing on whatever information they had or lack of it, and on and on and on. And so you're starting to see the effects of this now in how we treat each other and the culture as a whole.
Wow. Like that. And I like the way that he said grown males. He didn't say grown men. He said grown males, because that's what we got a lot of out here. We got a lot of males, but we don't have that many men.
Right. No doubt. Thanks. Great comment, man. I appreciate that.
Yep. We got another caller. 708-674. You are on with the Truth Brothers. What's your name? 708.
674. You're on with Truth Brothers Radio, man. What's your name?
All right. They're having a little technical difficulty there. We'll get back with them later. Rhonda, what did you think about that comment?
I think that's very, very poignant. And it's been proven time and time again that can and is an issue. But, again, it's such a hard road to toe because, like, what is a single mom to do? And I don't know if that we've always identified the problem, but I don't know if the solution has ever come to light. Maybe one of your callers has a good solution for that as well, but it is extremely cyclic. Once you start off in an all-female household, and I'm not saying that single moms aren't doing the best they can. I definitely need to say that with what they have. But the problem arises, it's like, well, what are you supposed to do? And, I'll be honest, I don't have an answer for anything like that. I don't know if you guys do.
That sounds like a topic to me. I think we're going to have a single parent show.
And you know what? I don't think there's a real answer to that. I mean, there is. It's like I tell a lot of people, it's hard for a man to raise a daughter. I mean, it can be done, again, and it's like it's hard for a woman to raise a young man, but it can be done. There's evidence of it happening, working out in some instances, and I mean, but it fails as well. I just like to get to something that you had said, Rhonda, a while back about that you had said that it's no clear way to define what is feminine, what is femininity, or whatever. The thing is, you're right. There is no one like lane that I can say, okay, this is the list for women. But dudes and guys have that list, and that's kind of crazy because, hey, you don't hit women. You do this, you take care of that, and our list is very, very short.
Yes.
Protect, profess, and provide, and don't hit women. That's it. That's our list. Like, if you stay within these guy frames, you'll be fine. That's your role to manhood. But for women, you do, and I commend women because you do have, like, this balancing act. You do have, like, this way of wanting to show that you're strong but appear weak at the same time, so to speak. I don't want to say that you're all weak, but it's hard to do that. And I do commend the women who do toe that line very well, and you know, but it is a hard thing to do, and I'm glad I'm not a woman, just saying that in the door.
But we're all glad you're not a woman, actually.
Especially me. Yeah.
It is one of those. It's such a hard definition, I think, to say what is a woman. What does she do? What are her parameters? I mean, what is a good woman? What is a bad woman? So you kind of run into that buzzsaw on a regular basis. Again, and just using, you know, your Harley example one more time is that a woman? Well, she dresses like a dude. Dude looks like a lady. So, you know, what do we do? What do we do with these women? Are they either less women? Are they more masculine? Do we call them guys? I mean, do they stand when they go to the bathroom? I mean, it's just one of those, well, what do we do with women who aren't necessarily in that particular box that we would like to have, I guess, see women in? And it all comes down to, bottom line, personal preference. I mean, there are some guys out there who like their women just as crazy as they come. You know, they want that Harley lady on that bike with her hair in the wind, and they'll grab them by the hair, kiss them real hard, that kind of thing. But then again, you have your Donna Reed types too. And it comes down to personal preference, and it comes down to what I think we as women are going to be comfortable in portraying. Are we okay with giving up our very girly feminine side to please this guy who is a football fan? If we're comfortable with that, then I say go with it. But I think the decision needs to be that of the woman involved. And everything else might have to circle around that, or perhaps some kind of compromise needs to be had, because I really feel a lot of times nowadays also we don't compromise like we used to, women. It's either all or nothing. He'll take me as I am. If he didn't like the way I did that, so he had to go. But now you're alone. So is that a risk you're willing to take in order to preserve your definition of femininity? So, again, balancing act.
A lot of women are willing to take a chance if they got the backing of their own, of their friends.
Yep. Some women do definitely like to say, yep, I'd rather be alone and have my girls than have a man. But when we're talking about the hyper masculinity in some of these females, I got a question that I want to pose with a story that came out over the weekend. A woman was charged with raping a man this weekend, and she's got a bail set at like $75,000. But here's the story. A 33-year-old man was allegedly held at gunpoint and forced to have sex with the woman in the backseat of a car after the woman's female companion offered him a ride on the near north side of Chicago over the summer. The man begged one of his tormentors, who demanded that he place his hands on her breast and buttocks during the July 26th attack, to stop. He pleaded, please don't make me feel these. I don't want to. This is terrible. The assistant Cook County State's attorney said that he eventually escaped, running out of the car naked from the waist down into a taxi, where the cabbie helped him and drove him to the suburbs. Not to the police station, to the suburbs, because I need some pants. The man had been walking in the 400 block of North Kingsbury early that morning when the 25-year-old woman, I'm not going to mention her name, allegedly, huh? Yeah. Allegedly pulled up to him, offering him a ride. While she was driving, the woman pulled out a black revolver and ordered the man, who was in the passenger seat, to get in the back seat and have sex with her friend, the man said. The woman was in the back seat and demanded that he take off his clothes, which the man complied by taking off his shoes and pants and underwear before he was assaulted. The two women also took $200 from the man, his credit card, and an iPhone, according to police reports. The victim who noticed a cab's headlights nearby decided to flee and seek help. The cabbie let the man use his cell phone and email a picture of the perpetrator's license plates to the police. The victim was later identified in a lineup and is being held on $75,000 bond. Now, the question is, can a woman truly rape a man? Are y'all truly buying this story? 818-514-1202. And if you believe that that's possible, is that a disturbing thing that you want to see that two women could go out there and just start harassing and raping dudes? I'm going to put Rhonda back in now.
Okay.
There's clearly more to this story, if I were a betting woman. I don't know, but the whole rape part was not that I think they could probably go into any more depth than what was there, and I'm kind of grateful for that, I think, in many ways. But I'm not sure where the rape part was. Maybe I missed that. But go ahead.
Yeah, she pulled out a gun to the guy and told back seat and have fun with my friend. And he said, well, if you didn't have this gun on me, I wouldn't have a lick of fun. I'm not
that there's something more to this story.
Yeah, personally, if you put a gun on a guy and the guy's afraid for his life, I don't see how he's going to perform. I don't see that.
No. I mean, of course, keep in mind, there are other ways of raping as well. So perhaps those other ways of raping came into the story. I can't believe I'm talking about this. But perhaps there are other ways that the guy was violated. So, I mean, it's fully possible. Now, to say is this some kind of trend, I would probably venture to say no, especially the way that this played out. There's clearly more to this that perhaps I don't think that we saw or heard, I should say.
Right, and also, the guy didn't say that any type of odd activity happened. He didn't say that he was violated in any type of way, but he was forced to do stuff. Now, like I say, again, if he really did do something, I don't think he believed his life was in danger until maybe they took the $200 and the iPhone, maybe.
I think,
but then again, he ran out, he jumped out of a car naked. I'm worried about that.
Well, I believe, well, first off, I don't believe if we're going to go with, well, man, you got me feeling sad.
Right.
But no, if you're going to go, I would be more that some type of assault. Or some type of sexual assault this dude went through. But the raping part, no, we'll just throw that out the window. That didn't happen. I believe it was a robbery gone bad, and he tried to make himself look good for getting robbed by two women. I believe that's the actual story.
And he took his pants off and said, well, this is what happened, too. I believe he knew him. I firmly believe he knew him.
But that's nasty, and I don't even want to keep getting
right.
that.
Yeah, there are several more facets to this story that I'm pretty sure were not reported. Too many holes. No pun intended. But too much going on there.
You've been hanging out with us way too long now.
Oh my. So yeah, as far as that section of femininity goes, I don't necessarily see that being a trend. Male, female rape and cabs with iPhones and whatnot, I don't necessarily see that as an issue. I think they're bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay. But seriously, on the serious side, what about the concept of women committing more crime? Crime is on the uptick amongst women real bad in the last 10 years, and like now one in four people arrested in society today are female. So that is a disturbing trend. Crime amongst men is on a downward swing, but crime by women is going up. I do find that disturbing, though.
That is an interesting trend. I don't know if you've read as to why that is necessarily. I mean, as far as, like I said, going back to, I guess, femininity and that kind of thing, that typically you're right. That's not something that women have been known to do or committing crimes. So there's probably any number of reasons as to why. Is the thing you're reading, does it say why?
Yeah, I would say that the economy has a lot to do with it. I mean, the women have been hit harder by the economy, taking race out of the picture, just going by gender. Women have been hit by the economy very, very badly, and they've been the first to be put out of the workforce, and they've been slow to get back into the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
That has a lot to do with it, too.
Wow. Now, as far as that goes with, like, women, well, one, we don't get paid as much.
True.
So even if they were to enter the workforce, that's going to be a huge problem. Is that, well, you know, like those, I admire the workers at the fast food restaurants who were protesting their jobs. And going back to my little rants that I've had before, I just find it deplorable, I'll be honest with you, that there are people out there who were like, well, you know, if you don't like what you're doing, get another job. I've seen that on different blogs and different comments. It's like, well, you know, I think that everyone who has a job deserves to be paid fairly for it, period. You know, and as far as women go, the Ledbetter Act, that the first thing that President Obama signed after he was elected, it said that women are supposed to be getting paid as much as men do. So even if we enter the workforce, it becomes a you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation still. So, the laws are out there saying pay us fairly, but it's not coming to fruition nearly as quickly as I think it should, and that definitely would add to the crime rate.
Exactly. And one of the tactics that jobs use now is when you're being brought into the company, when you're getting your orientation, and when you're being told how much you're being paid, they tell you now, don't talk about how much you make with the other employees, with your coworkers out there. You should keep that business. And that's one way you can mask over the Lilly Ledbetter Act, because if everybody don't know what everybody's getting paid, that's
right.
a great way
right.
to diffuse that.
Now, we're one of the few countries in the world that actually says that. In other places that I've visited, they say, well, why can't you talk about how much you make? How do you know if you're getting paid fairly? I'm like, we don't. Like in Europe, it's not that big of a deal to know how much your coworker is making. But only here in the United States is it a big deal that you know that the guy next to you is doing the same job or less, but since he's a male, he's making more money.
Well, I mean,
same job.
Yeah, if you want to go on that point, also in Europe and other places in the world, it's not a crime to go on vacation and take days off.
Right. We won't even discuss another feminine issue that I've come in contact with lately, with maternity leave, to kind of bring it back to, you know, the role of women, I think, anymore. It's rather embarrassing, the things that that happen in other countries that we here in the United States don't get. The maternity leave is deplorable in the United States. The way that mothers are treated is it's criminal. When I tell people about, you know, no, there's no mandatory maternity leave for American women, my European friends are like, are you serious? I'm like, no, there's no such thing. You're like, mandatory? No, you're lucky if they give you, you know, a good 2 and 3 weeks. They expect you after that. It's on you. Never mind the fact that it might be impossible for you to go back to work. Well, I guess you're just going to have to do that part for free. But it's tough being a woman in the United States. And I always hear people say things like, well, you know, it's better than, you know, insert country here. And then I always have to counter with, not really. Our rights are taken away. Our ability to be women, i.e., give birth, take care of your family, take care of your kids, get paid fairly for taking care of your family and your kids and your job, advancement, all of that stuff is secondary in the United States for women. So it's an ongoing battle, this whole what is it to be a woman in the United States? I mean, our girls, or at least our black girls especially, are told that, you know, you're not pretty enough, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, so go over there and do something else. It's tough being a woman in the United States. We just don't have what a lot of people consider to be as fair of a living as what you'd think in the United States would happen. So it's a tough go. We have a long way to go in the United States as far as how we treat our women.
For sure. 818-514-1202. If any of you are ladies out there, and I do see you out there, have had problems on your job. Maybe you've been hurt at work. Maybe you've had a hard time getting your workman's comp or whatever. I'm talking to a specific person out there now because I can see them. Call in and I'll tell your story, because women do have it hard. Women go through a whole lot of mess.
The actual hoops that they have to jump through just to get almost equal is bad. Like I said earlier, I mean, I commend it, women, all that. Like I'm a feminist to a point where I'm like, I actually women go through so much. We'll just put that in. Women go through so much. Like when you were talking about the maternity leave, it took me back to a wrestler that I had knew. And also, by her name was Karma. They called her Awesome Kong or whatever. And she was having a baby, and she said, you know what, I'm going to take maternal leave. She was hot at this time. She was just coming in to the big company. I don't think I should say it.
Yeah.
But I already told her name, but it don't matter. She was coming into a big company, and bam, she was hot. She said, I'm going to take the leave. She got pregnant, but they had a whole push designed for her for when she gets back. She's going to win all these belts. She's going to dominate the women's division, all of that. Then she went on maternity leave and lost her kid. She actually lost a child before she was actually supposed to give it.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it was okay. When you get back to work, we'll let you heal. But, hey, we need you back because you're big
money. You can cry when you're wrestling.
Yeah, cry over one of these girls. And I felt it was so bad because, you know, after that, she wound up not wrestling ever again. She just said, look, that experience hurt her. And the fact of how she was treated with this company made her feel worse, and she wound up giving up her wrestling career altogether. And you're treated so bad, man. I feel like, you know, it's hard to, like I said, to have that balancing act between being a woman, being a career woman. It's so many layers to being. You got to be a woman, a career woman, a wife, and a mother, and all these other layers that you guys have. That it's hard to find a balance that's also acceptable to society.
Yeah, yeah. So, and also, I think one of the problems is I find that women are quick to attack women if a woman tries to come out and say, hey, you know what, we don't have to twerk. We don't have to just dance. We can do other stuff like meteorology or be a scientist. And then I see women attack women who try to push the boundaries to say, hey, you know what? We don't have to just have commercials for My Pretty Pony. We should have commercials for chemistry sets for women.
Look at
and you don't
Patrick.
See a lot of that.
Look at Danica Patrick. When
yep.
two, Danica Patrick
yep.
did the same thing. What's the other? I can't yep.
remember. No, no. Stay on her for a minute because look at how – look at the backlash she got when she first tried the race.
Mm-hmm.
And then look how it back – how everybody backed off and accepted her once she decided to do those GoDaddy commercials.
Right.
If you fit into the mold we want you to fit in – cool, we're not as threatened. But if you think that you're actually going to race with us and beat us and then not try to look sexy about it, we're going to have a problem with that.
And then, right. But then they also caught flack with her when she decided to get out of her car and walk into a dude's face. But
uh-huh.
The thing is, look at the situation. Like, if she's passionate about the sport, which she has to be
yeah.
about her sport because she's in it with a,
yeah.
a bunch, with it's a male-dominated sport, to be real. If you're if you walk into that and you're passionate about it, if somebody does something wrong in that sport, you're going to confront them. But everybody looked at her wrong because, oh, she's a woman. She shouldn't went up to this guy and
right.
confronted him about it.
But also, she came up and did what she did within the norms of the sport. She confronted dude. This what that happens in races all the time.
She confronted him kind of did.
Yeah, but she but
yeah.
it was still within the norm. Of
it's
the sport
what,
because she's playing
see.
The sport and she's fighting
it's
for
what
respect.
You see, but
right.
Like, the way it was done, the dude could have. He could have, like, in that sport, I've seen people haul off and steal on another guy in that sport because
mm-hmm.
they were clipped because the flag
mm-hmm.
wasn't waved at a certain time. He blew a pit stop. All of that can happen.
Right. Right.
And she kind of went to him, like, finger in face.
Yeah.
Look here.
Yeah,
I'm getting ready to, and then I was like, "Ooh!"
But it's
I don't
within
know how,
she's playing in that sport, just like you want. Look at how people come at Serena Williams.
Oh gosh,
she's so strong in her sport, but she's still feminine. But she's strong.
Yeah, I mean,
and people have a problem with that because she's so dominating yet feminine at the same time.
I feel that they don't give it as much because she's dominating a woman's division. Let Serena whip a dude and take the men's division of that. It's going
to
be all this.
Well, remember, McEnroe tried to pull that and say that,
sure
you know.
Did. Yeah, and it was an abysmal failure for him.
Bring it on. Right. Exactly.
Bring it on. And then he had to back down.
Exactly, because he knew.
Mm-hmm.
You
now,
be,
one I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say one issue that kind of occurred to me just a few days ago. I know we just have a few more minutes left. But one problem that I have had in my life was that as I've tried to get other weather jobs, just in general, not so much as it pertains, you know, to my incident here in Shreveport, I have been told so many times that, well, Rhonda, we love you. We like the way you do the weather. We love everything about you, thinking of being you for Halloween, but the problem is we don't know what to do with you. And I felt that it was because I am a black woman in a line of work where if you're not a white man, you'd better be some perky blonde if you plan on doing the weather somewhere. And so that's where my struggle with what is femininity has come into, because I see other women, I'll just say other white women, getting jobs that I know I should have been considered for. And so a lot of times I think we as women, again, have a little bit of an issue, a lot of an issue, trying to fit in, trying to, again, be in that box. And they're not, and people in general still are not sure what to do with smart women in general, but smart black women. We just, for whatever reason, still do not fit in. And that kind of goes back to what you were talking about with Danica Patrick. Until she started trying to take her clothes off, or at least giving the perception that she was, it became one of those, well, we don't know what to do with her. Serena, was it Serena or Venus recently had a little bit of a glamour shot, I don't know the right word, like a bedroom boudoir kind of shot where she was just barely covered by a curtain. I don't know if you guys remember that. And it was like, oh, my gosh, she just looks horrible. What is her deal? That's not very pretty. I mean, look at her. And it was kind of, I found that to be insulting because that was insulting her version of femininity.
And
she looked just fine.
I'm highly insulted, too, and I will definitely be going to look for it. So,
but you know, and that's the masculine male in you just saying
exactly.
That thing. But no, I feel what you're saying, and it's so hard it's a real hard balancing act, and you know, I guess we didn't really get a cure. It's feminine. Well, put it like this: it's feminine.
I would say no. I would say no too. I guess it's proof.
What? Devon's a great name.
And Ray's not bad. But if you want to name the two club, that would work out well. And next week, we got Little Diddy coming up called It's Business, It's Very Personal. We're going to introduce y'all to the IRP6. Black men who created an incredible program and went to jail for it. Going to be a good one. You definitely want to check that out. Going to be one for the book. So, there you go. And we're going to let you know this has been a D-Network presentation. And if you're not listening to the Truth Brothers, peace, y'all.